Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good to be back on this Wednesday, August 10th already. Just 3 days before the first preseason game ever for the Washington Commanders. I will have a few days off again later in the month, but I'm here pretty much for the next 2 weeks or so. Denton Day is in with me today. Brendan is on vacation. Camp in full swing, and we had stunning news yesterday. A shocker. Something that rarely happens. The firing of an assistant coach a couple of weeks into training camp. Yes, yeah, Sam Mills III fired yesterday as the defensive line coach. I've been talking about this for almost 2 years now. Probably not 2 years, because I think a lot of us got the early word, probably late preseason or early in the regular season of 2020, that there was definitely a disconnect between Sam Mills and the defensive linemen on the team, including some of the young defensive linemen. I will get to what I believe was the reason for the firing. It's a weird timing thing, and I don't know for sure why it happened yesterday, but I do have a theory on it. And we'll also talk about whether or not ultimately this is an addition by subtraction thing. Michael Scott once said to Andy Bernard, I don't even know what that means. We know what it means, kind of. But good to be back. And yeah, we've got preseason game number one on Saturday at FedEx Field, 1 p.m. By the way, the NBC Sports Washington broadcast of the game will include Kenny Albert on play-by-play and my good longtime friend Richard Doc Walker as the game analyst for the preseason this year. Joe T is not doing the games this summer. I don't know why. I haven't really heard a specific reason as to why Joe is not doing the preseason games for the first time in a long, long time. I mean, Joe's been doing the preseason games on NBC Sports Washington on the local broadcast of the games for a long time. Doc is taking over, and I'm excited about that. Those of you that have listened to Doc over the years and know that Doc is a big part of the history and the heritage of this very station. Doc does a lot of things well. I'm not sure he does anything better than work as an analyst in the booth for an NFL game or a college game for that matter. Doc used to be phenomenal calling ACC games on Raycom for many years. Doc in the booth as the primary analyst. He's good on the sideline, don't get me wrong, and he was a part of the sideline group over the last, during the Larry Michael, Chris Cooley, Sonny Jurgensen, Sam Huff, Sonny Jurgensen years in the booth. And Doc was phenomenal at that, but he's really good in the booth. And I'm telling you, and I've suggested this to you in the past when it comes to watching preseason games, which are really, really painful to watch. I think in the NFL, it is the worst offering that the NFL gives us. And fortunately, remember, we only have three of them now because we've got a 17-game regular season schedule for the second consecutive year. And I think we're headed towards, at some point down the road, an 18-game regular season schedule with probably two preseason games. Can't wait for that day. I do think the preseason NFL is the worst offering, but what you can get out of the local broadcast in particular on television specifically from a guy like Joe over the last couple of years, from a guy like Doc beginning on Saturday, is you get someone who has been in the trenches and in the discussions for the last couple of weeks. They're talking to coaches. They're talking to players. And there is insight for whatever reason over a long period of time. And this goes for the regular season national crews as well at Fox, CBS, NBC, and ESPN. They get so much more for whatever reason in their sit-downs with coaches on Fridays before games or on Saturday mornings before games or Monday night games, Sunday games or Monday night games. They just get a ton of information, and sometimes they give it to you subtly, but that's what you will get. You don't get much from Doc Walker subtly. He is pretty much direct and in your face, but I am looking forward to listening to Doc call the games with, by the way, the excellent Kenny Albert on Saturday on NBC Sports Washington. Washington's got, interestingly, in their preseason, and this is unusual, typically most preseason games are played at night. Yeah, they are. Most preseason games are played at night, especially in hot, super hot weather cities, because they don't want the players out there in midday. It would have been dreadful had they had the weather we had yesterday or the day before or even today. It is supposed to cool off by this weekend, and they'll have more, actually, very early fallish weather. It'll be the nicest weather maybe of the summer this weekend. But Washington's going to play back-to-back afternoon games. They're going to play a 1 o'clock game on Saturday, and then they are on Saturday, August 20th, in their second preseason game at Arrowhead, going to play a 4 p.m. Game against the Chiefs. And then they finish up the preseason August 27th at Baltimore against the Ravens. A lot to get to on the show today. I will get into the reasons I believe Sam Mills was let go. The timing of it is weird. I do have a theory on that. We've got two guests on the show today. I don't know if you guys have seen this. The Big Ten is on the verge of signing what would be the largest conference networks deal, and it's networks plural, in the history of college sports. The Big Ten, in totality, has become the behemoth. SEC football as a one-sport standalone, nothing beats. It is in a class by itself. But when you're talking about the whole package of football and basketball, the Big Ten has become the behemoth. And the contract that they are about to sign with multiple networks is going to be a blockbuster. Our good friend John Oran from the Sports Business Journal will join us at 7:30 this morning. And then Ben Standig, our Washington football team insider, at 8 a.m. this morning. And we will certainly talk some Sam Mills. We'll talk some Carson Wentz inaccuracy this morning. Oh, my God. Was that a story? Well, I was off for a few days. Kept popping up in all of my Twitter mentions. Are you, Sheehan, Wentz is inaccurate. People, we've told you since the trade, he's not an accurate quarterback. This isn't his strength. We'll get into that a little bit as well. So two guests on the show today. There's a lot of sports news we're going to touch on, including a player, a good player in the NFL who wants to be traded at a position where Washington is pretty light. We'll get to that as well. But I want to kick off the morning with something that has consumed me now for a week and a half in my What Do You Got this morning. I'm very happy that Denton is with us because Brendan is a huge fan of the show too, and I would hate to be sitting here talking about this by myself. But I mentioned, I think right before, it was probably early last week, I mentioned to Brendan that I had finally listened to my wife and I had gone headfirst into Stranger Things. Stranger Things, for those that don't know, is the most watched show in the history of Netflix. It surpassed The Office, I think, a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago. The Office, the American version, which is my favorite all-time sitcom, was the most watched show in the history of streaming networks on Netflix. And it switched over about 2 years ago now, or coming up on 2 years, to NBC's Peacock channel. Which is, you know, I don't know how it's done for Peacock. That was the big get for them. But Stranger Things has become the most watched show in the history of Netflix. And I've heard about it over the last couple of years. It's not like I was completely oblivious to it. My wife had watched it. My wife had asked me several times, I think you'll like this. And I would, you know, jump into one of her episodes, you know, as she was already season two or season three, and I saw monsters and I saw, you know, things from, parallel universes. And I was like, nah, not for me. I'm not a sci-fi guy. I'm not a horror movie person. I'm very much mystery, drama, thriller, etc. But I'm not a sci-fi guy. I'm not a fantasy guy. I'm not a horror guy. Now, I've told many of you over the years that Game of Thrones is probably my all-time favorite show, but I don't consider Game of Thrones to be a sci-fi or a fantasy show. It's definitely not a sci-fi show. You can call it fantasy, but for those that have never, you know, jumped in to Game of Thrones, I've recommended over the years, if you're like me and you don't think that you would like a show with dragons, fire-breathing dragons in it, you're wrong on that particular show, because it's heavy on character and very light on fantasy. And my wife consistently said to me, you're going to like Stranger Things because it's very heavy on character and much lighter on the sci-fi and the fantasy part, which she actually, I think, got it wrong. It is pretty heavy on the science fiction, but it's very, very heavy on the characters. Well, over the last 2 weeks, Denton, I have binged it to the point. Well, let me just go back for those that missed it, because I told Brendan this, I think, early last week. I watched, she made me just sit down and watch the first episode. She said, just watch the first episode, and if you don't like it, fine. So I watched the first episode, and like 8 hours later, I was done with season one.
It has that effect on you, doesn't it? Like, you try and sit down and be patient with it, and like, I'll watch one episode here, and then you just get hooked, and the next thing you know it, you're done with a season in a day.
It happened. I watched the first season. It was a week ago Saturday. A week ago Saturday. We turned it on. Like, I started to watch it at 6 o'clock, and literally at 2 a.m. I had finished season one.
You're living the life of a millennial. We love our binge
watching. And I was hooked. Well, and for me, that's dangerous, because I get up very, very early in the morning. And so I don't go to bed as late as most of you do. I usually am asleep by 11 o'clock at the latest. So that was a bit of a crazy thing. I've done this before with shows. I did this with Breaking Bad many years ago. I mean, I got through. I was not a Breaking Bad when it was on TV guy. I binged it after the fact, but I and I've done that before with shows. Game of Thrones was painful because I was episode to episode after season two, you know, right after season two. So you're waiting year for year, and I know for Stranger Things fans, you've had to wait several years for the fourth season to come out. But anyway. Recommendation for any of you that like any kind of television, and I don't care how much you think you'll hate something, this show is great. It's not good. It is great. It involves, yes, monsters, parallel universes, a place called the Upside Down. There is a lot of science fiction involved, and a lot of science fiction for many of you that will sail way over your head, but it doesn't matter. Because the characters, many of whom are children, are incredible. Winona Ryder and David Harbour are the adults in this particular series. I'm not a huge Winona Ryder fan. David Harbour, who plays Hopper, who is the police chief of this town, Hawkins, Indiana, where all of this stuff happens, is everybody. I think he's everybody's favorite character. Everybody that I've talked to that loves the show loves Hopper more than anybody else. He's an outstanding character, but there are so many more. And there are familiar faces beyond Winona Ryder and David Harbour, if you're familiar with them. You eventually get Sean Astin, Rudy, who becomes a big part of season two. Paul Reiser's a big part of this show. Matthew Modine is a big part of the show, getting into some of the adults and some of the older people. But this show is a show that definitely hooks you, and you can't wait to get to it. Here's where I am after a week and a half of watching for the first time. I am three episodes into season four, Denton. Three episodes into season four.
You really have been cruising.
Cruising.
I won't spoil anything, obviously, because I'm not a terrible person. But buckle up, literally, because the final few episodes of this particular season are very long.
Well, the first three episodes of season four are pretty long.
The final one is 2.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
It's like a
really
movie. Yeah.
The final episode is 2.5 hours?
But it feels...
So it's a movie.
It really is, but it doesn't stop. Like, I don't feel like there's a ton of, like, lulls in it. It's just nonstop back and forth action where it kind of flies by.
What's really what really struck me with starting season four, which I did yesterday, is that the kids have gotten so much older. You know, there was clearly, I think Brendan told me there was like 3 years or 2.5 or 3 years between season three and season four. It may have been longer. I don't know. Maybe you know what it is. Actually, I'm looking at this right now. The series was released July 15th, 2016. Its second, third, and fourth seasons followed October 17, July 19. And then, yeah, so it was 3 years essentially between season three and season four. That would have been painful to wait. By the way, the series has been renewed. There will be a fifth and final season, according to reports. So I wanted to mention that I recommend it highly. And I don't think I've steered most of you wrong on TV or movie recommendations over the years. Not everybody, these are subjective things, clearly. I don't know anybody that's watched this show that hasn't loved it. I don't know anybody at any age, any demographic. Everybody seems to love this show. I will say this, Denton. I loved season three, but not as much as seasons one and two. But the season three finale is one of the best finales of a season for a show I've ever watched. No exaggeration. The scenes, first of all, the scene between Dustin and his girlfriend Susie, who lives in Salt Lake City, and this isn't a spoiler alert, but where he has to sing to get the code, where they sing together, is one of the most hysterical 2.5 minute scenes, and it just comes out of nowhere. I thought it was brilliantly inserted into that episode. And then the scene where Eleven reads Hopper's letter, you know, the heart-to-heart conversation that he was going to have with Eleven and Mike about, you know, being together in their house at the very end of that episode is incredibly moving. She's a great character. Great character. She plays that role perfectly. But I can't tell you the last time I've been this deep into a show. It's been a while since I've binged something like this. And for all of you that will, you know, tweet me this morning and say, "Are you serious, Sheehan? We've been trying to get you to watch The Wire for a decade now, and you're watching Stranger Things." I know The Wire is my biggest resume hole, and I will get to it eventually, I promise. Somehow, some way, I will get to The Wire. It's going to be tough for that to happen now that football season is right around the corner. But Stranger Things is totally, totally worth it. Love the show. And can't wait to finish off. I'm a little bit, Jesus, 2.5 hours?
It's long.
At this like, season four finale? Wow.
Get yourself a meal and a drink and lock in.
Well, it looks like season four is 8 episodes or 9, something like that. And so I'm 3 episodes in. I will just tell you, I'm at the episode where Max is in trouble at the end of the 3rd episode. That's where it left off. And that's where I had to turn it off and stop watching because it was like, well, I've got to get up tomorrow. So there we are. All right. We've got a lot to get to. There's been a lot of sports news. There have been some things that I've wanted to react to that I haven't had a chance to over the last 4 days. Kevin Durant sit down with the Brooklyn Nets owner has me irritated to a very high level. We'll get to all of that again. 2 guests, John Orand, who's always one of my favorites. There's nobody that really knows sports and broadcasting as much as John does. And the TV deal that the Big Ten is on the verge of signing is one of the all-time. And you can see where college sports is kind of headed. And then Ben Standing will be on with us as well. I will get to the Sam Mills stuff, I promise. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Something that happened while I was out is that the first college football poll came out, the AFCA coaches poll. Okay, that's what it's called now. This is the coaches poll. It's not the Associated Press writers poll. This is the coaches poll. It used to be the USA Today coaches poll for college football came out the other day. And I personally was expecting Maryland to be on the verge not on the verge of top 25, but I thought that they would get a bunch of votes and that they would be, you know, kind of in that top 30 to top 35 range if you counted up, you know, the votes of other teams receiving votes. They didn't get one vote in the coaches poll. Not one vote in the coaches poll. And that was really surprising to me because I am excited. Denton's a big college football fan, too. I've said many times in the past, I actually have gotten to the point over maybe the last decade where I prefer Saturdays over Sundays. Don't get me wrong. Sundays are great. I mean, the NFL is incredible. But there's something, especially when you're a bettor, there's something just, you know, totally special about noon until basically after midnight on Saturdays. On, you know, 7 different networks with 15 games at a time going on. That's always fun. But I was shocked that Maryland did not receive even a vote in the polls. Maryland is loaded offensively. Now, they're in the Big Ten East. We understand that. And they are going to have a difficult time stopping teams in various games, you know, on defense. This will be an issue for them. They've got NFL wide receivers. They've got a quarterback who right now is the third-rated quarterback in the Big Ten heading into the season, and Tua's brother, we've talked about Talia, Leah Tungavailoa, and he's coming off one of the best seasons Maryland quarterbacks ever had. They have a schedule early on. They're already in their opener, a 21.5-point favorite over Buffalo in their opener. Then they play at Charlotte, and then they have a decent game before they get into their Big Ten schedule against SMU on a Saturday night, September 17th, in College Park, FS1. So a nationally televised game on FS1 against SMU, who's been pretty damn good in recent years. The total for that game right now, I'm projecting to be well over 70. They've got a chance this season to once again, I think, win enough games to become bowl eligible. They destroyed Virginia Tech in their bowl game last year, which gave them some momentum heading into this year. They got Lox has been recruiting well. They've got some good transfers. Maryland has a chance to be a really good team, but an excellent team offensively. So I was expecting them to get votes. They didn't get any in the coaches' poll. Big surprise for me. They have a game on Saturday, September 24th. It is their fourth game of the year against Michigan in the Big House. Michigan loaded coming back, you know, after obviously making the playoff, not having much of a chance in their playoff game but against Georgia. But they come back highly ranked. Michigan preseason in the coaches' poll, number 6. Ohio State's number 2. The other Big Ten teams in the poll after Ohio State and Michigan are Michigan State, who's ranked 14th. I'm not going to count USC yet. They're 15th. But Wisconsin is 20th. And then Iowa and Penn State were the first two teams listed in other teams receiving votes. There were other Big Ten teams that got votes, like Minnesota and Purdue. But Maryland didn't get them. But look out. I'm telling you, Maryland football this year has a chance to be super exciting on offense. Leah Tungavailoa has a chance to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I know I said that last year. I did. And I talked about him as a potential, you know, sleeper Heisman candidate last year. And early on, it was true. And then he played very well late. But I think Maryland's got a chance to win 7 games this year in the Big Ten East, where they've got Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State and Penn State. And they play, 2 of those games at home. They've got Michigan State and Ohio State at home. They're at Penn State and at Michigan. In terms of their crossover opponent, unfortunately, it's Wisconsin from the Big Ten West. They get them in Madison in early November. That's not easy. But look out if you're starting to think about college football, because we are 2.5 weeks away from a college football slate. Yeah, 2 weeks from Saturday. On August 27th, you get just a few games, and then the following weekend, which is Labor Day weekend, you get the first full slate of the season. But I saw that poll come out the other day, the first poll to come out. We'll get the AP poll probably late this week or maybe early next week. By the way, Bama was 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, Clemson 4. Shocker. Then it was Notre Dame, Michigan, Texas A&M, Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor. Baylor was 10th. USC with Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, et cetera, came in at 15. That's going to be an interesting team to watch to see if they can turn it around. I expect them to be pretty damn good on offense. The biggest storyline, by the way, from the first poll of the year is that Texas was ranked 18th and got a first-place vote. The 18th-ranked team in the country had when you look at a poll and you see the parentheses with the number, it gives you the first place votes. Alabama had 54 first place votes. Georgia had 6. Ohio State had 5. And Texas had 1. I'm not sure why Texas had 1. But I think this is going to be a year where Mike Locksley and Maryland football will be interesting to watch. You know, again, you know, this is one of those things where if they were ever really good, like Big Ten East competitive, like had a chance, it would be a big deal. And you would see packed houses out in College Park. The last time Maryland was legitimately good under Ralph Friedgen, that's when they made the decision to expand the stadium. Debbie Yao, as the athletic director, made the decision to expand the stadium and take on a lot of debt to do so, which ultimately was the driver of Maryland out of the ACC and to the Big Ten, because they were in a financial bind because of the debt that they took on to expand the stadium. Why did they expand the stadium? Because Ralph Friedgen won 32 games in his first three seasons, and they were selling out every single week at Bird Stadium at 50 to the tune of close to 50,000. So they expanded the stadium. They did a poor job of doing it. It's not a good stadium. It's an ugly stadium. They took on a lot of debt, and they're no longer in the ACC. They're in the Big Ten. Maybe it's the best thing that happened in hindsight, you know, that Maryland is in the Big Ten. They're in one of the conferences that look like they will be a survivor. Well, the Big Ten will be. Instead of without a home and potentially looking for a home, which many teams in the ACC are doing. But they haven't been legitimately good in a long time. And many of you would say, well, they're never really going to contend in the Big Ten East, Sheehan. It's just not going to happen. Okay. I think that's, in the ACC, there was always Florida State. And they weren't going to beat out Florida State, although they did in 2001. They won the regular season title, even though they lost their only regular season game. That they lost was to Florida State, but they still won the league that year. The Big Ten East with Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, much tougher. But Maryland's beaten Michigan State. They've beaten Michigan. They have not beaten Ohio State. Ohio State's the only team in the Big Ten East they have yet to beat, although they lost a 52-51 overtime game to Dwayne Haskins in his final year in College Park. It's weird. We say they can never, ever compete in the Big Ten East. They'll never be in a Big Ten championship game. But every once in a while, you'll get a weird year in some of these leagues. And you'll get, an Ohio State being a little bit down and Michigan being a little bit down. And maybe they lose to Ohio State, but Ohio State loses two games somewhere else. I'm not expecting them to win the Big Ten East. Don't worry. I'm not crazy. But I am excited about Maryland football this year. I'm excited to see a team that I actually think has a legitimate chance to be one of the better teams in the country offensively. A top three, top four team offensively in the Big Ten as well. They've got two receivers that will be – they've got three really good receivers and actually a fourth, two, and a transfer. But their receivers, Rakeem Jarrett and Dante Demas Jr., are both guys projected to be potential late first round to somewhere in the late second round range right now. Things change. They also have Jacob Copeland, who transferred from Florida, who apparently is a big-time talent as well. And they've got Jayshon Jones, who has been a pretty effective player. They've got playmakers. I mean, if you've watched Maryland football over the years, you know they have not had an issue with speed and playmakers at the skill position spots. The biggest issue with Maryland in the Big Ten is they've not been able to recruit and develop the kind of offensive and defensive lines you need to compete in that league. They have been too often manhandled at the line of scrimmage. And it's not just starters, but it's depth behind those starters. That's where Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Wisconsin and Iowa are always, always loaded. And that's, as we know, where games are often decided. And Maryland has had a problem and a deficiency on both sides of the ball with respect to their O-line and D-line, and that's been the problem. But I am excited about Maryland football. I'm excited about college football. It's weird because we may be in one of the last, couple of years of kind of normalcy in college sports with respect to conferences and even, you know, what we refer to as Division I college sports. It's very possible in 3 years or 4 years from now, we've had teams, you know, 50 of them in a couple of leagues break off from the NCAA. And we don't know what that'll look like. We really don't. That's one of the things we'll talk to John Orand about, because this Big Ten TV deal is going to be a game changer. And we'll see what the network, the number of networks involved, and there's one network involved in particular that may be a big tell as far as what Notre Dame does. All right, there were a lot of different football pieces of news. There's some Deshaun Watson news. Going to get to that, and I want to get to this Kevin Durant thing as well. We'll do that next. I promise you at 7 a.m. we'll get to the Sam Mills conversation. We'll do it again at 8 with Ben Standig. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. We're on the Team 980, the team980.com, and we are always live on the free audio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
See app. So over the weekend, Shams Charania from The Athletic reported that Kevin Durant and Brooklyn Nets owner Joe Tsai met over the weekend in London, and Durant basically gave the owner of the Brooklyn Nets an ultimatum. The ultimatum was, it's either me or you get rid of Steve Nash and Sean Marks, the team's head coach and the team's general manager. He remembered just a month ago, reiterated his trade request or asked for a trade. And then he reiterated that trade request at the same time informing the Brooklyn Nets owner that he's got a choice to make, either me or them. Durant, according to Charania, does not have faith in the team's direction. The team's direction, which has pretty much been driven very much by Kevin Durant and his nutcase partner, Kyrie Irving. By the way, very ironic that the meeting between Joe Tsai and Kevin Durant took place 1 year to the day that Durant had agreed to a four-year, $198 million contract extension with the Nets. And here we are a year later, and he wants out. This is the answer that Joe Tsai gave via Twitter. Joe Tsai said that he supports and stands behind his coach and general manager. By the way, a general manager in Sean Marks, who's done one hell of a job. A head coach in Steve Nash, who was handpicked by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, as they decided, remember, that they didn't really need a head coach. They just needed somebody that could co-coach with the two of them. Of course, I'm exaggerating, but the point was, and Kyrie made it, that they don't really need a coach. That was the quote from Kyrie. It was not a quote from Kevin Durant, but it was very much assumed that Steve Nash was signed off on by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They did not want Kenny Atkinson, who would have been a much better coach. They didn't want any of the other potential choices on head coaches with great experience. They wanted somebody without any experience, somebody that they could co-coach the team with. Pretty much everything that Durant and Kyrie asked for, Joe Tsai and Sean Marks gave them. Kevin Durant's played very hard with Brooklyn. He has absorbed a lot of wear and tear. I mean, I've talked about being, you know, a lukewarm Kevin Durant fan over the years. You know, I didn't love that couldn't beat him, so he joined him in Golden State. I know that's a little bit old school, but whatever. I didn't love the fact that... I thought he was the best player on Golden State's championship teams that he was a part of, but they had won a championship team, but he jumped on a team that had won 73 games, you know, and had already been championship caliber and already owned a couple of championship rings. And then, you know, the move to Brooklyn was an interesting one, and it really a move in the moment where it was like, okay, Kevin Durant wants to create a legacy where it's not tied to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and a team that was already a winner. And when it comes to game days, Kevin Durant's brilliant. And as a Wizards fan, I would want him and I would give up whatever Brooklyn wanted for him to come here. Now, we don't think he wants to come here. He's never wanted to come home. Whatever the reasons are, they are his reasons. But even though he has proven to be a little bit mercurial at the very least, I don't need him. I would take him in a heartbeat because he gives you a chance. You become an absolute conversation contender if he's on your team. But the ultimatum that he gave to the owner the other day is, you know, it should be for the owner the final straw. It might be for a lot of people that are Kevin Durant fans, the final straw. You know, this may be an argument and a debate that is somewhat separated by age. You know, the NBA definitely has a younger fan base, and people like me who have been NBA fans my entire life, I love the NBA, and I think the NBA playoffs are one of the great products in all of sports. But it's this kind of player-driven league, player arrogance, player entitlement, kowtowing to player demand that is, for some, you know, kind of off-putting. And we've seen it over and over again for a long period of time, you know, not necessarily just starting with LeBron's move to Miami with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade in 2010. You know, we're not going to win 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it was. But this Durant stuff is bad for the league. Now, Michael Wilbon told me 2 weeks ago on this very show, he thinks all of this stuff and all of this drama is good for the league. And I know that there is a part of the audience, and it's a younger portion of the audience, that loves the drama of all of this stuff. Kevin Durant requesting a trade. Now Kevin Durant giving the owner an ultimatum. But for people who have lived some length of life, you do understand that there's a maturity issue here. There's a childish behavior kind of thing here. There's an entitlement kind of thing here. And at some point, the adults have to put their foot down and say no. And that's what Joe Tsai needs to say. No. We are not firing Sean Marks. We're definitely not firing Sean Marks. We are not going to fire Steve Nash. Although my feeling personally is that Steve Nash shouldn't have been the coach to begin with, and they probably need a new coach now anyway. But the answer is you have a lot of gall to put me into this position a year after signing this deal, a year and a half after me giving you virtually everything you wanted. You've got a lot of nerve to come to me. I don't care how much money you're worth. I don't care how much power you think you have. You are under contract with this organization for the next 4 years. And the answer, sir, is no. Now it's your choice. You can play and you can collect your paycheck for the next 4 years here in Brooklyn, or you don't have to play and we won't pay you. And you can sit the final 4 years of your, you know, productive years, and maybe he's only got two of those. He's 34 years old. And you can choose whether or not to end your career as a holdout. And by the way, it doesn't mean in 4 years you're going to have a chance to play anywhere else, because if you hold out, we still will have your rights. Now, I say that a month after saying, if I'm Brooklyn, there's no way I would trade him unless... unless I get the best package. And I'm not talking about a Rudy Gobert package. I'm not even talking about an Anthony Davis package anymore. I'm talking about an all-time package that puts me and my team, which I have responsibility over as the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets. I am only making a trade that brings back a haul that gives me a chance to build a winning organization over the next 5 to 10 years, period. Absent of that, you're not being traded. And with respect to your ultimatum, one word answer, no. Problem over the years is that too many of these players have not been told no. What's interesting about the Kevin Durant situation is if he said no, the one thing we know about Kevin Durant, he's a gamer. He's not sitting out for that long. He loves to play. He loves to compete. It's one of my favorite things about watching Durant, especially in Brooklyn, trying to carry a team that was deficient in a lot of areas. His performance last summer against Milwaukee is one of the great individual performances in NBA playoff history. His game 5 and 7 in that series, where he did not sit for 1 minute, was incredible. And let's not forget, he's a toe on the three-point line away from probably advancing to the NBA Finals and having a chance to win that title for Brooklyn last summer. Last summer, which we were done now, right? It ended sometime in July last summer, the NBA playoffs. I forget when the actual Phoenix-Milwaukee series ended, if it was July or maybe it could have bled into August. I forget now when the final game of that series was. But they were so close to getting over the top. So I would take that tact if I were Joe Tsai. I would. It would be enough for me. Because it's not in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets to trade him for anything less than the greatest package in the history of the game. Because that's what he did. That's what he should bring back. He certainly should bring back a hell of a lot more than Rudy Gobert brought back. If you want to argue that the Anthony Davis package is kind of in the area because Davis was a much younger player, I'll buy that. But nobody's offering that. Nobody has that kind of offer available to make. So he's not going to get traded. Now, I say that, and we know that in the NBA, eventually, the owners, they kowtow to the players' demands. This is a players' league. It's part of what has made it off-putting to so many people, older fans in particular, that don't like the player-driven decisions. And some of them just busting in big ways, like the Brooklyn decision, which leads me to this. A couple of things, thoughts on Durant. Number one is, he's not going to sit out. He's a gamer. It's what makes him, well, it's his gifts, clearly. But beyond that, Kevin Durant loves to play and compete. I can't see him holding out. you may say he'll come in, he'll take the money, and he'll, you know, he'll basically, you know, he'll give very little effort, but he'll give enough effort to collect his paycheck. No, that's not him. If he's out there, he's going to play. Number two is this. Why did Kevin Durant ever want to play with Kyrie Irving? I mean, he's made some bad decisions in picking people to play with since leaving Golden State. Kyrie Irving is a nut job. He's the worst in a person. Somebody who is not nearly as smart as he thinks he is, but is so arrogant that you'd never be able to convince him of that fact. So he never learns, he never listens, because he thinks he's always right. And Kevin Durant chose him to play with? There was another story that came out over the weekend about Ben Simmons. Did you guys see this? Before Game 4 in the Boston series, the Brooklyn Nets were on a team text chat. This was reported, I think, by Rick Bucher. It was a team group text chat before Game 4 in the Boston series in this previous NBA playoff run, where they were down 3-0. Remember, they did lose to Boston in 4 games. They did. They got swept. But all 4 of those games were super competitive. The first 2 games of that series were 2 of the best. The first 3 games of that series were 3 of the best games start to finish of the NBA playoffs. But on this team group chat, Ben Simmons' teammates asked straight up if he intended to return and play for Game 4, because apparently he was ready to play in Game 4. And Simmons left the group chat after he was confronted with that question about his availability. His virtual, as Rick Bucher reported, walkout led to a rather unsavory reaction from Kevin Durant. Apparently, from what Bucher said, Ben just left the chat. They asked him, "Are you going to play?" Ben leaves the chat like he didn't answer the question, just left the group chat. And KD, Durant, is like, quote, "This is what I signed up for. This is who I'm playing with." Closed quote. Yeah, you picked one of them, and you had to kind of okay that trade as well. Your selection of people to play with here in Brooklyn has been poor. Your selection of a head coach was poor. Do you have to live with bad decisions? No. You know, there is a, you know, a cut bait, you know, mentality that often works. When you make, you know, bad decisions, cut bait immediately and move on, you know, because it's a sunk cost at that point. But they gave him everything he wanted, and now he's going to give the owner an ultimatum a year after signing a 4-year deal worth $200 million. Are you kidding me? No, sorry, the grown-ups now are going to take over the conversation and the direction. The answer is no. So you let us know if you're going to play in 2022. You're under contract to do so with our team. I say that understanding that Steve Nash is not the right guy for that job. He's not. And I would not be so hell-bent to prove a point that I would keep Nash to spite Kevin Durant. I would never get rid of Sean Marks. He's an outstanding general manager. The answer on him is an unchangeable no. The Nash thing, maybe I would give a little bit after making sure. The problem is Kevin Durant and a lot of these players have proven that they are just, you know, it's beyond being entitled. They're just not mature enough to handle these conversations. They don't understand that, wait a minute, you made this bed. Now it's time for you to lie in it. Anyway, We'll see what happens. I'm sure Josiah will eventually just bend the knee to Kevin Durant and trade him for peanuts, because that's essentially the way the NBA works. By the way, Durant's best chance to contend for anything next year is with those nut jobs, Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving, because it is a league where no matter how crazy and dumb you are, you've got to have talent. And certainly Kyrie is gifted. Washington made a stunning, stunning firing yesterday. Ron Rivera fired his defensive line coach, Sam Mills. We'll get to that story next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com, and we are always live on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.